This is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction Show. Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Peason, here with Joel Elston on this Thursday, Christmas Eve. Hey, Christmas Eve, 2015, December 24th. And we hope that you're going to have a Merry Christmas. We hope you're having one already, actually, for those who are doing last-minute gift wrapping. This can be an especially joyful time of year. You're like, oh, my God, where did I put it?
Exactly.
But it's still a wonderful time of year. And one of the best parts about Christmas, I think, is that it has kind of moved, perhaps to the disdain of more evangelical Christians, it has kind of moved outside of Christianity. It is now more than just Christianity. Basically envelops and includes a wider range of persons, and I think that's a good thing. There are some who might disagree with me, but I like Christmas because of that. So that's my opinion. Anyway, Joel, how you doing?
Things are great on my end. I've had a great week. It's hard to believe that it's Christmas Eve and the year is almost over.
Isn't it?
An incredibly fast year.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it seems like every year it's accelerating.
Well, and time is, when you're a child and you're waiting the 5 days before Christmas, it seems like, if I had to compare, it seems like this entire year was what I experienced as a child, the last 5 days before Christmas. And so I remember when my grandfather would tell me, oh, as you get older, time goes faster. It really does, and especially with all we have today is our social media, the news, all that. I think that adds to the feeling of just the pace is unbelievable.
It also creates the challenge for us, because one of the things that the Law of Attraction teachings teach us is that we want to be in the moment. We want to stay in the moment. And staying in the moment actually should slow time down. So that becomes our challenge. How well can we stay in the moment? And that kind of dovetails nicely with what our topic is for today, because our topic is what I call waiting for Godot, which is another way of saying waiting for that law of attraction to kick in and deliver the thing you're looking forward to deliver to you. And that can seem to take forever.
Well, it is a continuation, I think, that we, as we have talked in the past, how you bring about, you're waiting for these things that you're concentrating on, you're feeling, you're on every level, but yet it takes for what seems forever for these events to fill in the blanks. And that's why our topic, I think, is so important today, because it matches, you know, what we see, what we perceive with time, and how living in the moment, at the same time anticipating what's coming versus dreading what has happened, and it all goes together to make sort of while we're waiting for this to come together, it's very important to understand. This is going to happen, but we have to be in tune with these things to happen, and that's what I think is the big point today.
I just realized that perhaps I shouldn't call this waiting for Godot. Perhaps I should call this waiting for Christmas Day, because that's essentially what we're looking for. We're waiting for that Christmas gift to show up, you know, and say, well, hey, oh my God, it's here.
That does make sense. It makes complete sense. In fact, we can maybe even amend our topic, because waiting for Christmas Day is the perfect analogy as we're going through as a child. We know Christmas is coming. However, it seems to take forever to get here.
Yes.
And even when we're trying to manifest something within the law of attraction, if you really believe it's there, it's going to be here. But as we wait every day, it's what our expectations are that I think really sort of clouds the judgment. When we manifest something, being able, I have actually wanted stuff to happen, and it happened, but it did not happen in the way that I wanted it to happen. It took me a while to realize, oh, it actually happened pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that it had happened that way.
Right. Yeah, in fact, often we'll forget that we even asked for something. Have you noticed that? I'll ask for something just because at the particular moment in time, I was annoyed that I didn't have whatever it was and I needed to get it really soon. And then it shows up, and by then my concentration's on something else and I didn't even notice that it showed up.
Well, that makes complete sense. And you have, within the law of attraction, we have those expectations. And when we want to achieve them, you're expecting them. Of course, our desire is instantly, but it has to happen within a believable time frame. The law of attraction takes place within our believable time frames. You have to see it happen. If I want to make $1 million this year, the law of attraction, again, has no time, but it has to happen in a way that I believe it can happen. And that is where it isn't just going to magically appear at my door. It's going to happen in matching what my core beliefs are. Like in my job, am I going to increase my income? Am I going to do these things? If I really believe these things are doable, then certainly it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to happen without, I'm going to go to the store today and I'm going to go buy stuff. I have no doubt that's going to happen. I have no doubt that's going to be fulfilled. So that is already taking place today. The law of attraction works a similar way, but until you have the ability to treat it the same way as it's already happened, or you're really vibrating there with that feeling, then it puts it off. It takes us a while to see that it happens, and it does take some time for us to actually accept this is going to happen, because often what we're seeking is so far from what we really believe can happen. And that's where the big gap in time lies, for me at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think there's also something else you kind of hinted at there, but you didn't really say directly, which is that all of our beliefs, all the things that we believe can actually happen, how realistic that something can happen, those beliefs are our levels of resistance.
Yes.
And we don't really think of it, those beliefs, that way, but that's what they really are. And in fact, when that concept was first presented to me, I said, "What?
yes.
What on earth are you talking about?"
Well, and that becomes so clear that my mindset has always been, when I really knew it was going to happen, when I could really get to that tangible where I would feel it would happen, I would be able to. It becomes easy.
Right.
It is. When I would have the, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? Well, that itself is a resistance.
It
feeds into it. And the more you crave it, the difference between craving it and manifesting it, sometimes the craving it or really focusing on it, over-focusing on it, is almost a reverse belief. And that's where people get stuck, I believe, because when you overdo it, that you're almost saying, this is so impossible, I can't imagine it happening, whereas you just say, this is going to happen, this is it, this is where I'm at, that's when stuff starts to take place.
Yeah, it's actually fear that it's not going to happen, and the fear is the level of resistance.
Yes, many, many years ago, when I was living in South Carolina, and I was really starting to understand the law of attraction and how it was working, and I work in addiction treatment, and I was envisioning this treatment center that I wanted. And this treatment center, and I even did a vision board.
Wow, you did a vision board on a treatment center. That's really cool.
Yes, and I had a picture of a house on a big piece of land, and I wanted to implement a lot of holistic treatment principles with, I'm a 12-step. I'm not a 12-step opponent, but I'm also, I want to look at all options for addiction treatment, not just get stuck on the 12 steps. So I wanted a multifaceted, multiple approach to addiction treatment, sort of a shotgun approach where I could throw everything known at addiction in the addiction treatment world at my clients. Now, that's a pretty big thing to do. And I did not know how I would come up with the money to do it, but I clearly had this vision of what I wanted to happen. Well, on a separate note taking place, I was contacted by a man that lived in Virginia who was opening up at the treatment center that was exactly like was on my vision board.
Wow.
Well, I did manifest that treatment center. I didn't necessarily manifest it for me, even though I was working there and I was in charge of the treatment center for several years. I see now how the law of attraction fulfilled that void. It put it there. I had it happen. It just wasn't, and it wasn't really until I was working there understanding, well, I did bring this about. It wasn't the way I thought it was going to be brought about, and sometimes it takes us a while to see it, that I'm working in this literally, it was a different building, but it was an old plantation on 400 acres in the middle of beautiful Hanover, Virginia, rolling hills, and it's like, wow, that is almost identical to my vision board.
Wow.
So I brought it about, but it wasn't until I was in the middle of it that I could see that I brought it about. Now, I didn't own the treatment center. It wasn't Joel Elston's treatment center, but I was the director of that treatment center, and I could see, I saw how I envisioned that, how it turned around, how it happened, but it wasn't until I was in the middle of it that happened relatively quickly.
And I can think of two key points that go along with it, sort of tangentially in a sense. One is that your original thought, your original wish, if you will, did not actually specify that you had to own it. You just wanted to attract it.
Right.
Which was probably a good thing because it made it easier to attract it.
Well, it became a much more believable thing that instead of the multiple millions of dollars falling in my lap that would allow me to have this happen, someone who had a very deep pockets had the same vision and contacted me to run the facility. So it, and I didn't envision it. And at the end of the day, I wanted a facility that would treat my addicts with all of these different modalities. And that's exactly what happened. I didn't have to own it for that to happen.
Right.
And with it, and the advantage of it, with me not owning it, I also didn't have to worry about the ebbs and flow in client and the client census. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about the financial problems. When the air condition blew up, I didn't have to run and get financing to get that fixed. So I was actually director of the program and had none of the financial responsibilities and got paid a very good salary to do that. So
right.
I actually manifested it in a way that I didn't even realize was to my best benefit.
And what's really cool is the second tangential part of it that you really didn't talk about, but which was kind of inferred in what you were saying, which is that once you realized, first of all, that you had attracted it, and then after time realized that you needed it to be more something that was under your control, well, it wasn't like you were done. It's not like you only get one wish from the genie. You can wish again. And you did.
Well, I did, exactly.
And it worked.
It worked. And the evolution of that, one of the things that I evolved from that, and I do keep changing. My vision board changes all the time. I have, I do a lot of vision boards. I love them. And I change what my vision board is because I'm a changing, evolving creature as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the stuff that I want to, and it always comes about. Again, it isn't always exactly how I envision it, but it always comes about. In fact, in retrospect, I can say, well, that is actually exactly how I envisioned it at that point. That's what I put out there. And I've always got frustrated with me, not with the law of attraction, but my inability to not put the negative or what have you, the sort of the resistance out there, because overthinking it, again, becomes the resistance, because it's almost like I once I put it to bed, once I believe it, once it's there, okay, it's there. It's all it has the universe has no choice but to fill that void that I've created, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when I'm like, well, here's a way it can happen, or here's this way it can happen, and it's like, no. It's not my job to do how the universe is going to take care of it. I'll let the universe do that. But it's when I try to look at how it's going to come, that's when I start finding myself getting stuck in the what ifs, how can, and all that. And that seems like it delays the whole process. That's my resistance.
It's funny, too, because a lot of people like vision boards. And I'm not one of them, believe it or not. I think it's because my vision isn't all that great. I mean, I'm probably legally blind in my left eye. My right eye, I'm okay with glasses, but I don't have great vision by any stretch of the imagination. But my one sense that is really powerful is my sense of sound, audio sense, my oral sense, if you will. And as a result of that, my way of visualizing is more like audioizing. I'll use like meditation tapes and I'll play recordings and so forth, because that's my way of getting myself into that positive space. It's different from a vision board. I mean, it's not like I can just go right out and get the sound of a new house. It doesn't quite work. But what I can do is I can put out, like I could even create an audio recording that says, "Wow, I really want to attract a new house." And that, in a sense, becomes my audio board rather than my vision board. So I mentioned that just because there may be other people like me who just don't do well with visualizing. I mean, to give you an idea of how bad I am at visualizing, most people, it took me a while to learn this, to realize this. Most people can actually hold, they can think of something, they can think of an object, they can think of a thing, hold it in memory, hold it in their minds, see it, see the shape, see the colors, see all the things about it. I can't do that. I have never been able to do that. The most that I ever get is this very foggy, hard to define, muted, muddy colored thing that kind of fades in and out in my mind. I am never able to hold an image in my mind. But when it comes to holding an audio image, if you will, a sound, I mean, I have learned that I have the ability to hear music in ways that other people don't know how to hear. And I'm not sure if I can explain it, except perhaps to say, if I hear an orchestra playing, I can identify, excuse me, I can identify every single instrument in the orchestra as it's playing.
Wow.
But most people can't do that. It took me a long time to realize that these two facts are true. So, you know, it's a question of knowing what your strengths and weaknesses are and playing to your own strengths.
Well, and again, a vision board is in my world, is a generic term for just what you're talking about. If I have this, I have a blind client that has a vision board,
That's cool.
and you're thinking, what are you talking about? Well, this client has her sense of hearing is very similar to yours, but it's probably the doctor actually described this in a way it's closer to a healthy dog's hearing.
Yeah, I'm sure hers is even more advanced than mine is just because she has to compensate.
Right. She can hear incredible nuances in sound, and you know, and that's one of her. And plus, her sense of smell is just again very tuned. So what she will. What we created for her, and again, when I say she's blind, she does have a little vision, but what she's able to do is her vision board is a meditation she created where she's describing exactly what she wants in great detail, and she has certain smells that she has attached to those statements, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Very good smells, like she loves, you know, cakes baking in the house or the beach, you know how the beach smells, the salt water. She has all of these smells.
Yeah, this time of year it would be something that has ginger and spices and so forth for like, you know, pumpkin bread or you know, date bread or whatever, all that kind of stuff.
So she's equated a smell with what her she has her house that she's going to have described in probably a 45-minute description in exacting detail. And so she, and what she has done is associated the smell of fresh cooking bread with that house. So when she will bake bread, she'll meditate on what her vision board is, which is what she has written down and recorded. So it doesn't necessarily have to be I think vision board, it's just sort of it can be a generic term for anything where you place out in the universe what you're fulfilling, and then you tune into that. And that's why using whatever senses are out there. There's a deaf gentleman that was talking about he molds replicas of what he's manifesting in his life. And he does a lot of clay work and stuff like that, and he really brings that about, and he finds that sense for him is what works. So again, knowing, I love your statement of knowing your strengths and using your strengths to create your quote unquote vision board or whatever your vision is or whatever you're manifesting. Once you bring all that together, that's when you find this is my way to do it. And every individual has a way to do it, and I think that's what we have to seek, is how do we tune into what we want using our strengths.
That's it. That's exactly what it is, using our strengths. If we focus on our strengths, we do two things. First, we focus on the stuff that is important to us, And second of all, we focus on the stuff that's easiest to attract because we have less vibrational resistance to it, just because of our interest in it, just because of how fascinating we find it, or how enjoyable or attracted we are to it. The attraction works both ways.
And that is such an exciting, when you look at that concept, that's so exciting because you have within you your strengths. And one of the things that I always try to find within my strengths, I'm very good, I don't read and retain very well because of my ADHD. So I listen to a lot of books on tape. I love to go to lectures. I love to hear debates. And I retain incredible detail information when I hear something. If I read something, I don't have a lot of retention. So instead of fighting that, instead of saying I will read it over and over until I have retention, and I just accept my strengths are listening and hearing, and ironically listening and tuning in, and that's what I do for a living, working with people who have addiction. Sure. I listen to what they're saying. I hear where they're coming from.
Yep.
So I use my strength in my business. I use my strength in my law of attraction work, and that's why I love to verbalize when I have my vision boards out, I like to describe out loud what they are. And when I bring something, here's what I have, here's what I'm after. And as I talk about it, I make it part of reality, which eventually makes it really where I'm at. And that's sort of the key of taking your strengths, applying it to the law of attraction, and then you're more in tune when you're doing it from your place of strength. Like for me, the state of gratitude, I think probably every week I talk, I think for most people, the most effective state of mind to manifest anything is that from a place of gratitude.
I prefer the word appreciation, but yes, I like what you're saying, because that's, I think, one of the best tools we have for getting through that waiting for Christmas Day period. Just, you know, you're frustrated because it isn't showing up, and you know that frustration is creating that resistance. It's like, no, don't go that way.
Right, exactly. Well, that it's such a clear message from the universe to me, is when you quit the resistance, you're going to have it fulfilled. And the resistance, I wish it were a switch in my brain that I could first of all identify it as resistance, and second, then just slip, you know, just click the switch and you're done. But it doesn't work that way for me. I have to understand what is not working here. Why am I not able to bring this about? And inevitably, I will find my resistance, and also the not able to place myself in a state of appreciation, your preferred word, or gratitude, my preferred word. When I'm in that state, that's when I find I'm most vibrationally open to no resistance and putting it there. So when I find, during the week last week, here's a great example. I had one of those days where nobody would return my call.
Mm.
I'm waiting on this young man to get into a treatment center, and you know, not getting a treatment center to call you back is almost like not getting a realtor to call you back. You're like, are you kidding me? And I'm really creating a lot of stress that didn't need to be there. So it seemed like the more stress that I was creating, the more pressure I was putting on myself. Then another call came in on a situation that I really was supposed to be dealing with, but I was delayed because I was waiting to hear from this treatment center. And like four or five things compounded on each other, and I was living in a state, not remotely of appreciation or gratitude, but in a state of frustration.
It reminds me also of something that Mike Dooley said. You know who Mike Dooley is from The Secret?
Yes.
Do you subscribe to his notes?
Yes, I do, actually.
Oh, they're wonderful. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Mike gave, you can see a number of Mike's presentations on YouTube, and in one of them, it was in the beginning of his promotional tour for his book, Manifesting Change. In the middle of this talk, he says, when you're trying to, when you're in that waiting period, when you want to make stuff happen, you want to take some baby steps, even if they're not steps that are going to really do anything, you have to start taking the steps so that the universe can, you know, guide you and say, you know, hey, you're heading the right direction, you're wrong direction, you know, turn here, that kind of thing. But he says, but you also want to make sure that you don't limit yourself to knocking on just one door. You want to knock on all the doors. And the little metaphor he gives of that is you don't want to go and just start pounding and keep pounding and pounding and pounding on the door and saying, "Open up, I've watched The Secret 25 times in the last 10 minutes."
Well, and I think that's what we tend to do. And when I'm vibrating in that right state, I'm able to get that mindset, just like you're talking about. You know, one of our topics a few weeks ago was the law of action. Well, the law of action is exactly that. Go take some baby steps in a direction when you're stuck. Not because they're necessary to manifest things. It puts the resistance down when we go do that. It forces the resistance down when we go take steps. Now, you can't, as you're saying, you can't just make up your mind. We use that lottery example. If you say, "I'm going to win the jackpot of $200 million this week," I'm manifesting that. So I'm going to go cash in all my money and everything I own, and I'm going to go buy lottery tickets so I have enough to make sure I win.
Yeah.
You are guaranteed, but I assure you, you won't win, not because of the law of attraction doesn't make it possible to win, but what you're actually doing is you're putting it all on only one option for the universe to fulfill that. And the universe is not going to look at it that way. It's going to say, no, we're going to fulfill it, but it's going to come in a way that's believable and something that is actually plausible in your mind.
Yeah, because you'd have to have 100% certainty that you were going to win that lottery. Otherwise, you'd lose it.
Right.
And there aren't many of us who hold 100% certainty in our minds for anything more than a split second.
And you got to hold it there. One of the ladies that I spoke with, I actually worked with her as a gambling addiction client. I found this one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen. She had scratched off a ticket. This was in South Carolina, and she was in the northern part, the Rock Hill, South Carolina area. She scratched off a ticket and won $100,000.
Oh.
So the lottery office at the time was in Columbia, South Carolina. It probably still is. And as she was driving down the next day to Columbia, she stopped and got gas at a gas station, bought another scratch-off ticket, and won $25,000.
Uh-huh.
Stopped one more time before the lottery and won a $1,000 scratch-off ticket.
Now, she was definitely on a pattern there.
She started to believe and really was in tune with all that. And I believe she was manifesting, she was vibrating right. Went and cashed them all in. Well, she eventually became a client. So what happened was that actually turned. She quit her job thinking, "All I got to do now is scratch lottery tickets." I said, "What?" Well, it wasn't long before she put back all the money she won and then ended up with a second mortgage in her house, chasing. It went from something she was vibrating and in tune with to something she was chasing, which...
Which is something you recognize very, very well because you had the gambling addiction.
Absolutely, and you can see that. One of the things that I was always amazed at, and I remain amazed all these years later, is when people start gambling early. Compulsive gamblers start their early gambling. They almost everyone wins. It's amazing. People say it's beginner's luck. It's whatever, but they win because they really are believing they're going to win. And as a gambler, in the end of my gambling walk, I could not win anything.
Sure.
I couldn't win flipping a coin. I couldn't win.
That's really sad, but it's true.
It really is. It got to a point where I was so anticipating losing that weird things actually had to happen to make me lose sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was manifesting on the wrong side. That's part of my belief of the law of attraction, because I was on the wrong side of it for so long in my gambling addiction. I had once had a horse in a race in Miami that was going off at 14-1 odds, and I would have won about, by the time I bet a lot of money on it, I probably would have won about $18,000 or $19,000. It was in the lead going around a five horse lead going around the last turn. There's nothing that could go wrong, and a seagull flew in front of the horse. True story. He threw the rider. The horse finished first, but it didn't count because the rider had been thrown off.
Right.
And I lost the money, and I even realized that was in the beginning. I'm going, "Oh my gosh, I'm so convinced I'm going to lose."
Yeah.
that I brought about a loss from an impossible situation there.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I like to play online poker. And, of course, it's been illegal to play for money in a number of years, although I played for money, too, and did fairly well at it. But now I just play for the play chips. And I actually use playing online poker as a way of giving myself a quick read on how I'm feeling. Because it'll show me very quickly, just from the results that I get, how I'm feeling. And when I get those results, I'll say, oh, yeah, that's what that was. Okay, now I understand. That's what I thought was a neutral feeling is a negative feeling or whatever. It's amazing how instant the return is on that.
Well, with our topic being the delay or waiting for Christmas or any of that, the law of attraction it doesn't have a time clock on it. It responds only at the speed you believe it can respond.
Right.
And that's the key. It's if you can't just do it and expect it because you don't really believe it can happen that way. And that's where most people, I think, they I've been doing everything right. Like I said, I've watched The Secret 25 times. I'm doing everything she says exactly word for word. You can't do it that way. It has to come from within. Your words are important because they do bring about a change internally, but it's what you're feeling inside that really matters. That's where that real level that really matches what you're trying to manifest. And it has to come. You have to believe it and literally feel it. You have to smell it. You have to taste it. And it's a very hard place to get to for a lot of people because they don't know. I love this quote that one of the attendees at I don't know if you've ever done much study with the Abraham Hicks.
Oh, yeah. I love Abraham Hicks. I get their thing every day, too.
Yeah, I was listening to one of the live, the recording one of the live thing, and this gentleman was saying, I was tasting the $1 million. I was feeling the $1 million. And she responded with, and your point of reference of the taste was.
Yeah.
And you the problem is you're not knowing what that feels like.
And that's a key problem. I mean, because it's a problem I've experienced in my own life and that my wife and I have talked about quite a bit, which is how do you visualize something that you have no experience with?
Right. Right. And that is where it becomes such a – when people who start from the very lowest economic – you know, I've seen people make amazing movements from the lower economic society where they're you know, basically employees in McDonald's or unemployed, and they've implemented the law of attraction. I'm aware of 20 people that have pulled themselves out from the bottom to wealth, actually.
Wow.
But none of them did it instantly. They did it in the increments that they could believe they could do it in. When they were making $7 an hour at McDonald's, they did not really believe they could make $50,000 in a year. But they believed they could make $12 an hour. And once we got them to $12 an hour, then once they accepted, well, you know, $20 an hour written out of hand. And then once you launch that, I have seen people go up incrementally, but I've very seldom. I'm trying to remember anybody I work with that's gone up incredibly, immediately, drastically. Everything was stepping up, not because the law of attraction needs to step up. Our belief system needs to step up. And that's the big key, just what you're talking about, understanding it.
In fact, to talk about something that I'm actually dealing with right now, I have a product I'm trying to develop. I'll give you a clue about it. I've actually figured out how to create an email system that doesn't have spam, which is pretty cool.
That is very cool.
Now, the problem, of course, is that there's a lot of programming that goes into that. And my own circumstances financially have been pretty meager for quite some time now. So I haven't been able to hire all the high-powered talent that I would need to hire in order to make this thing happen within a reasonable time frame. So, you know, I've been able to do some hiring. I'll, you know, hire somebody from India at a lower price and so forth. And do some of that. But some of it I've had to try to face doing myself. And my programming skills are metz and metz. If you know, a scale of 0 to 10, mine are maybe a 4 plus, So not really great, not terrible, certainly better than most people, but you throw me some challenging programming problems and my head just goes into a tizzy, like most people's heads go into a tizzy when they see HTML code.
Right.
So it's quite the challenge. Here I am faced with the inability to hire because I don't have the money to hire with. I have a project that's at its core level, it's almost done. I have one problem left to solve. One. This problem has been haunting me now for weeks. And on top of that, I'm running out of money because I'm spending all my time on doing this thing. So it's a question of, how am I going to pay for the rent and that kind of thing. So it's not the most pleasant situation to be in. And in that circumstance, I have to find a way, and that's what I've been doing on a regular basis. I have to find a way to get myself into a state of appreciating what I have, appreciating what I've accomplished so far with it, and just believing that if I keep taking the steps, even though I don't understand a lot of what I'm trying to do, if I just keep taking the steps, somehow that answer is going to come to me. Somehow I'm going to get that resolution. And you know what? I don't know this for a fact yet, but just before we started recording today, I came up with an idea and tried it, and it led to another idea that I didn't know the answer to, but at least I knew the question. So I put the question out to the community of programmers who are involved in this thing. I'm hoping somebody's going to come back and say, "Oh yeah, you just do this." And there's going to be my resolution to this thing I've been struggling with literally now for about 3.5 months.
Wow. And getting, as you're knowing, even people, somebody who practices the law of attraction the way you do, the way I do, when you get into these personal situations like this, it's so hard, it's so easy to tell somebody else how to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Then when you're doing it, you're like, okay, when you're looking at it, what you've actually created, when you get in the wrong mindset, I need money to hire somebody to do this last bit, but I'm running out of money. So I need to manifest money, but in reality, what you're putting out to the universe is a lack of money.
Right. And the most frustrating thing is recognizing that's the fact and saying, okay, how do I turn that
Right. Yeah, and that's where it becomes so convoluted and so difficult to bring about is because you get stuck in that own, your own vibrations that you don't want them to be that, but that's just what they are. You have a young man that's working on a project different than yours, but it's a startup in the same way, and he's going through the same thing, and it's on the edge of hitting it really big, but he's got these things that are slowing him down, and he'll get really excited, and then one negative thing will happen, and then he gets stuck back into the other way of thinking, and he's slowly getting through it. He will get through, but again, it's going to happen on the time where at the time that he can process it, and the time is the problem. Again, not for the law of attraction. It's for us, and
Right.
you will get there, but you've got to keep adjusting your sail, so to speak. What are you really? What at the end of the day, the law of attraction filters through everything, all the ifs, ands, buts, should, could, woulds. The law of attraction hears none of that, and it just goes by what you're feeling.
And
Putting
it's
out.
interesting that you mention almost getting there, or feeling it perhaps for a second, because I actually had that moment last Sunday, or 2 weeks ago Sunday, I guess it was. On that particular date, I thought I'd actually solved the problem. I was wrong. I didn't actually have the solution, but I had gotten some feedback that suggested to me I had. And when I had that thought that I'd actually solved it, the feeling was immense. It didn't last real long because I soon found out I was wrong, but for about 25 minutes, I was on the ceiling. I was so excited. And the most amazing thing to me is after, I guess not amazing, but the most interesting thing to me is that after I realized that my problem really wasn't solved and I came crashing down to earth, I said to myself, how do I get that feeling back? And it almost seemed like it was so far out of reach. I mean, 5 minutes before, I'd had that feeling in spades, and now I couldn't get it back. That was an amazing thing. And it was like, wow. It shows, first of all, just how much I need to discipline my mind, because I clearly could feel it. Certainly, I know how to do it. It's just that I am so conditioned to let outside circumstances control what my feeling is going to be, that I just allow myself to crash to the bottom and stay there. But wow, that's really what the battle is, or not, perhaps the battle is the wrong word. That's the challenge. The challenge is to learn how to gain control of our own thoughts, our own feelings, so that we can get to that place, so we can start really attracting the stuff at the speed that we really want to attract it.
Well, and that's when you become a master at dealing with this, and that's when you very much have to learn how to hold on to those moments or bring them back, because they feel so fleeting when you're years of conditioning the other way.
Oh yeah, the conditioning is what does it.
It does, and so but when you have glimpses of that feeling, when you're just totally in that moment where you're like, oh my gosh, this is it. It's going to, I'm there. And you feel it, and you're saying, I need this so much. I need this so much. And then once you almost overthink it, or you bring it about, like I said, then it disappears. Then that other mindset is what we've come back to. It just goes right back to the point. I mean, we go back to what we can conditioned. And that's so, it's so frustrating. And I think, again, so why so many people who eventually give up on trying to use the law of attraction in their favor is the timing of it all sometimes seems ridiculous, or not believing that they try it. Well, I tried it for 5 days and it didn't work, so it obviously doesn't work.
Well, in one sense it is ridiculous, because we expect the universe to be rational and reasonable.
Right.
The problem is it's an emotional universe. It's not a rational universe.
right. Well, and the distractions of the universe, when you're sitting there doing what you're doing, you're developing an incredible new program that's going to be very successful. You know that I know that in my bottom of my heart. I feel this is going to be huge. But what happens is the electric bill comes.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, they don't care that you're working on this project.
Yeah, right.
they say you owe $250. Well, then the car payment comes. Then the mortgage payment comes. And you're looking at that going, but I'm on the edge of this. And so, again, the outside influences are at battle with us internally at all times. And that is, if you want to look at where the biggest delay is, that's normally where it is.
Because of our reaction to
yes.
what we're experiencing
yes.
there.
And that's what happens is that reaction that's taking place is the delay, because we're back and forth, and we're I know what I'm feeling, but the real world is telling me it's different, and in reality it isn't the real world, it's my interpretation of the real world, but it's something that we live in and out of the law of attraction, or at least on direct in tune within the law of attraction. The more you get where that moment last week where you were really feeling it, if you could live 50% of your life in that feeling, you would be manifesting everything.
It's mm-hmm.
It's for so long. Again, it's handed down from generation to generation. We're asking people to change the way they're thinking in an entirely different avenue. We're asking to go down an entirely different street of the way they're thinking, the way their parents thought, and it doesn't feel right sometimes.
The cool thing, though, is that despite the challenges involved, despite the resistance that we have to this idea that we can actually change our thinking, all it takes is a few instances of seeing where we did change our thinking to realize, oh, I really can do this. I'm not sure why I can't do it all the time, but apparently I really can change my mind. I can change my emotion. I can change what I'm feeling. I can change what I'm vibrating. I mean, I'll tell you honestly, Joel, to this day, I'm still not sure what the word vibrating means in this context. They talk about being on a certain vibration. I say to myself, what vibration? What are you talking about?
Well, and I use that word a lot, and I don't know if I need another word, because I'm with you. I view this I call it more tuning. I need to be in tune with.
I
picture a radio where, and again, I know we live in a digital age, so maybe our younger audience member won't.
Well, we're on online radio, so why not?
Right. Yeah, but it isn't always 92.3.
Yeah, it's not the frequencies anymore, right?
Yeah, those of us that remember where you had the dial, like especially like an AM dial, if you wanted to get in there, you had to literally sometimes barely move it to the left, and you, oh, you had it, and you go barely move it to the right. You had to tune into that frequency exactly.
Right. In the age of analog tuning as opposed to digital tuning, it was all about microfine adjustments of a knob.
Exactly. And you know, and the knob wasn't exactly the most, they didn't put the most money in the car.
No. It was always the cheapest part.
So instead of vibrating, I may condition myself to tuning into the frequency of, is to me much more of a, that's really what it feels, that's my vision. I say vibrating, but I'm really tuning into the frequency of the law of attraction, of what I'm seeking within that. And it is such a tiny, sometimes it's such a tiny frequency difference between the exact opposite, that they're side by side. So it takes a very fine tuning sometimes.
I suspect the whole concept of vibration, well, I know conceptually in our world anyway, the concept of vibration comes from Abraham Hicks. We've talked about them before. And whether or not you buy into the Abraham Hicks phenomenon, which is essentially that Esther Hicks channels a group of souls from the other side that they collectively call themselves Abraham. You know, that alone may be enough for people to say, yeah, right, that's too woo-woo for me, forget it. But if you buy into that at all, if you accept any of that at all, I can conceive of the idea of beings on the other side experiencing what other people are going through by seeing their spirits actually vibrate. That's the only way I can make sense out of that word. Because why would she choose that word? That was a strange word to pick. That's what I think it must be. Because from my perspective on this side, I don't see any vibration at all. I just know I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling great. I am feeling good. I am feeling great. I'm somewhere in the middle. That's the closest I can come to what they call vibration.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I watched earlier this week, the movie The Matrix, and there's a portion of the movie where Neo sees the Matrix not as it's intended, but as just in code. He's seeing it, it's in code. And in reality, a lot of people feel, the Abraham Hicks crowd, and I've heard others say, that we all put out a vibration. There's a positive vibration, there's a negative vibration, there's an attracting vibration, there's all these. Some people claim it can, I've heard some bioscientists tell me, you could, one day they'll develop a tool that can measure what we're vibrating.
Yeah, that could be.
And I don't know if all that's true, but.
Well, it is true to one extent. Excuse me for interrupting. There is one way that they already can measure that. They can hook you up, they can hook your neurology, your brain waves and so forth up to machines, and they can measure those vibratory systems. So there are vibrations of that kind that they can measure. It's just that we don't necessarily experience that as vibration.
Well, and I think that's probably what they're picking up on. And if you even want to get maybe even deeper, you know, Abraham Hicks does it, but if you ever read any of the Seth materials,
That's really weird material. That's way out there.
That's way, way out there.
That's beyond Pluto.
that really gets way out there. But a lot of that stuff, I find it interesting that a lot of people arrive at the same place with a lot of different background.
Oh yeah.
When you and I met, actually we never met in person, but we met virtually a couple of years ago, and really had an instant, I felt like I've known you for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We had a great first talk, and since then we've talked several times. We're from completely different backgrounds. I know of hundreds of people across the United States that I've been in contact with, completely different backgrounds, totally different stories, and we all end up with the same discovery. We all took different routes to get to this discovery.
Which is fascinating.
Which I find fascinating into itself. The path, there's a million paths to how we got here, but we got here. And that's what reinforces it with me, that, you know, I've had people debate, you mentioned the Abraham Hicks thing, say, well, you know, she's channeling people from, and I don't know about all that. I really don't. I do know the stuff that they're talking about is very relevant.
Yeah, you don't actually have to believe in that part of it. I mean, the information's useful. Who cares how she says she's getting it?
Right. I quit debating mentally whether she's getting it from some ancient group, collective, or not. It doesn't matter to me, because what she's saying is very much the law of attraction.
Right.
So I believe she believes it, and that's fine. But to hear what they're saying is pure law of attraction. So I'm on board with that, and I think that the time frame in between is only dependent on the resistance that exists within our brain and where we're at, where we're tuning our frequencies, where we're vibrating, no matter what you want to call it. But wherever we're at is the catalyst for the delay in fulfillment, and it just it goes the other way. And often that same resistance can have the opposite effect. It could push it further away.
Oh yeah. And it often has.
But it has with me many times. And I think the ongoing battle for each and every human that gets into this way of thinking is defeating this internal human-made time frame, because this is the way we believe that has to happen. So it has to happen in a believable sense. And if you do it that way, then it's like, okay, I can envision this happening, and I've seen stories of this happening to other people, so I can see that happening to me. Then you almost believe it. But when you don't believe, when you don't know what it feels like to, just like Abraham Hicks, like he said, how do you know what $1 million feel? How do you know what it feels like to have it in the bank where you don't have financial worries? What does that feel like? And if you've never had that, you can only guess what that feels like.
Right.
I know that for many years, money was sort of the big chase of my life, being a gambler. And I found it interesting when I quit chasing money, I started having money. I'm no means by anyone's definition of rich, but I certainly don't worry about paying bills anymore. And mm-hmm. I have money to pay bills. I have an abundance in many areas. And with that, money isn't such a focus, and I tend to get money much easier than I did when money was my only focus. So, because I believe I'm going to have enough. I always have enough. I have plenty. I find it, I don't know how this works the other day, but I got this story that every year I help a family just randomly, anonymously. I don't even like to talk about it, but the only reason I'm even telling the story is this family's in need. I basically gave them $1,000. Just wrote a check, dropped it off, said, you don't owe me anything, just help, have Merry Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was so, I don't know what it means. It just, I got home, and I had a car before where I bought the extended warranty.
Right.
Well, I trade cars like most people change underwear, so I forgot about that. Well, somewhere along the way, a car ago, they canceled the extended warranty because I sold the car.
Okay.
I had a check in my mailbox for $1,100.
Wow.
After I dropped the check off, and I'm like, I just looked up at the universe and I said, wow, thanks. And I just look at that as a general reinforcer.
Yeah, so, oh yeah, a huge one, I would say.
But what I'm going to do tomorrow is I found another family, I'm going to go help them for $1,000. Not because I'm seeking more money back, but the point is, it just, I'm on a different frequency with money now, and I'm tuned in with money in a different level, so money's not a big concern of mine any longer.
And which is a great place to be.
It is.
It's probably the best place you can be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We've only got a couple minutes left, and for the last few weeks, you've been wanting me to remind you of something, and I keep forgetting. But this week, I remembered, so I'm going to remind you. You got a really cool book out there, and we should be telling people how and where they can find that book.
Well, thank you, Walt. First of all, I'd like to thank whoever has been listening. I noticed when we have mentioned the book in the past, I noticed on the analytics of my sales, when I get my sales analytics, that I noticed a slight bump up after the show airs. So whoever, I believe someone listening has bought my book, and I really appreciate that. The title of my book is called The Bench, and the author is me, Joel Elston. And it chronicles my life over through my gambling addiction, through my discovery of the law of attraction, through the adoption of my children. There's a whole lot of twists and turns in the book, and it really shows what I try to show is how I use the law of attraction in working with my clients and how it has such an incredible impact on my life. It's available on Amazon. Barnes & Noble. You can get it anywhere. Do a quick Google search, but again, Amazon has it. I would appreciate if you want to look at it. Just, I'd love feedback on it. It's been surprisingly successful, considering I've done very little publicity work on it. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to share it with everyone.
And one of the really nice things about the holiday season is to remind ourselves, it's not just about giving to others. It's also about giving to ourselves, about feeding our own souls. And one of the best ways we can do that is through reading books like your book, because that's what the book does. It helps feed your soul. It helps you get yourself into that positive place and feel good.
Well, you're so right. And as our audience, as we started the show, I want to hope our audience has an incredible holiday season, Christmas. Everybody have a Merry Christmas. And next week's show will actually be on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're getting the holidays this year for our show. That's pretty cool.
But
you have a Merry
right
Christmas too, Joel. I don't know what your plans are, but I hope you have a great holiday.
You as well, Walt. I'm looking forward to spending time with my son, with some dear friends in South Carolina. So I'm excited about that.
Fantastic. Actually, Louise and I are heading up to Vermont to visit some friends, so we're going to have a Vermont Christmas, which may actually even include snow this year, despite the El Nino effect, so who knows?
Well, I sure hope you get it. If you do, how about sending us some pictures?
There you go. Yeah, I'll just ship it to you.
Okay.
Very good. All right, well, we'll see you next week, and we'll see you all next week here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might seem-